The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Hey everybody, Stan Casascio here, along with my co-host Vicky Lightcap, and yes, I am live. I am live in studio.
Oh my God, Don! Look at his face.
Yeah. By the way, when I walked in, it was like they put out red carpets, and the crew over here, they had palm leaves down and everything else. And
I thought it was rose. Wasn't it rose petals?
Rose petals. Everything
for his
else.
Gentle feet.
And listen, I got my hair cut.
I
got rid of all the orange stuff that was in there from being in the water all the time. I got my nails done for you. I even got a pedicure. I feel gorgeous. In fact, we should be on TV today.
You are gorgeous.
Yeah, I know. Jesus, unbelievable. So I'm here.
The impeccable Stan. Casaccio.
I'm here with, that was Don Bellucci, better known as Don Beichel Jr.
Thank God Andy was here. At least he could say my name.
And we have a great show today, which is everything school board and parents. So we're going to have a number of people on regarding it, because it's a really important issue. And Vicky, you know, one thing that we've talked about is that in your home, school taxes is probably one of the biggest expenses in most people's lives regarding their home.
Yep.
And one of the things you're going to find out as we talked, it seems that school boards are becoming less and less likely to talk to you, even when you approach a school board members in a open public setting, which is what this was supposed to be about, in which you would ask a question or want information, no one's giving it to you.
No.
So my question is to the, we've got Keith McCracken here. The McCracken. The Kraken.
McCarrick.
McCarrick.
If he were Italian, I would understand that if he pronounced his name.
We'll give you some Irish lessons.
That'd be good. But at what point do you start paying enough school board taxes that they'll start answering your questions? Is it $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000? Then you finally get your answers? I mean, maybe we have to pay to get our questions answered. So that's one of the things that we should think about, and that's why it's really important. People, don't poo-poo your school board candidates. You know, take a look at it, because they affect your life and also infect your life, but they will affect your life to one of the largest extent in your home and expenses and everything else.
Well, not only that, Stan, they will infect your children. They will infect your children.
Yes, today it seems like
I don't think we've ever realized it until these last 2 years that we have seen what the impact is of voting in judges, what the impact is of voting in our local townships and councils and supervisors and mayors, and also now, especially school board members at our local level.
And the importance of this is, and look, I always try to look at a silver lining, no matter how crappy the situation is.
Okay, what's the silver lining in this?
Well, just what you said. All this stuff that was going on with the election and stuff like that, it has opened people's eyes of how important is school board is, how important is their local townships. And more importantly, the other thing, and we'll go to this with what's happening with Senator Mastriano and Jake the State Corman, is
Jake the Snake.
they have misunderstood what they are going up against. They think it's status quo like it used to be, and they could pull this crap and get away with it. And one of the things I brought up was when old Jake the Snake did his power thing with Doug Mastriano, was if you ever watched the movie Tour, and at the very end when the Japanese admiral says, "I fear all we have done is awaken a sleeping giant."
That's
what they have done.
Yes.
Okay, and now the electorate, like the Audit the Vote people, Tony Shoup and them guys, they're not going to let this go. And we here, of course, are not going to let it go.
Absolutely.
And there are other people like Wendy Bell out in Pittsburgh. She's not going to let it go. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to let any of these people get away with this junk anymore.
Absolutely not.
And you know, you hear so many different things. Of course, when you mess around with people's kids, mm-hmm. it really motivates people. And
talk about that sleeping giant.
And you talk about the sleeping giant, but yet parents today are having real trouble with their children. I listened to this story about this parent who called in at another talk show, and you could tell the angst in his voice, and he was talking because there were psychiatrists there talking about stuff. And he said, look, I got a 12-year-old son, and he used to like to go to school. Now he doesn't want to go to school, and he's talking about suicide. What do I do? I mean, there are kids that are really becoming dysfunctional because of what's going on. And it kind of reminds me of a story that I heard about this mother, because nobody wants to seem to go to school today, that she went up to wake up her son to go to school, and she said, aww. Son, wake up. You got to go to school. And the son said, I don't want to go to school. Aww. You know, just give me two good reasons why I should go to school. Aww. And she looked at him and said, well, first, you're 56 years old. Second, you're the principal. So, what? No drum roll from the... Come on, catch up. There you go. Yeah, right. And, of course, in California, they just had a election. They had a very high turnout. You know why?
Why was that, Stan?
Because they have legalized marijuana in California. Oh, no drum... Hey.
I think he just has that button now.
Yeah, right. So anyhow, we do have with us, we have Keith with us and McCarrick. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Or should I call you Don Bellucci? So Keith, you're, and we have with us Jessica Gallagher. We have Alana Fishbane, who's been very active with school board information. We have our legal advisor, Andy Teitelman, on.
Andy.
He's here. And we have another caller who I know, but has a real interesting story to tell, which I think is important to talk about. And we'll do that a little bit later on. So, Keith, tell me about a little bit about your background briefly. I know we could be here all day talking about that, but tell us a little bit about your background, how you got involved in school, because I know you've been involved for like 20 years in this stuff.
That's true. About 20 years ago when my kids were in school, I'd finished up going to college at night and I'd gotten my degree in computer science and I had a night free. And I remember when my kids were in school, they had just built a new middle school a year or two before that. They were talking about closing another school and repurposing it. And they were saying, what should we do? Make it full-day kindergarten? Should we make it an activity center for the community? Let's go and talk about it. So I went to the meeting, and I got hooked. I went to this meeting. I listened to people talk about different things.
I got to give you a drug test, though, because if you got hooked
on that. This is not a legal drug.
Before you go on, because, you know, Stan's been away for a while. You're running for school board, if I'm correct.
Yes, I was appointed.
So what area you're running for?
I am on the board for okay. Perkiomen School District. I was appointed 2 years ago to fill a vacancy.
And you're coming up.
Right? And one of the reasons why I was appointed was because of my prior experience on school boards. I am running for re-election this year. I'd like to get in because overall, the school boards can do a lot of good work for the district and the students and everybody involved. The biggest thing is a lot of times people only come out for hot topics.
Right.
And this year, for the past 18 months, not just this year, we've had a couple of hot topics, vaccines and masks.
Just to name a few.
Just to name a few, right.
Yes. Yep. We have, so let me ask you this, and why don't you bring in Angela Banks, who's also a school board candidate. Okay. I believe she's
and
in
so
spring.
And so is Jessica Gallagher.
And Jessica Gallagher.
Okay.
And
they can kind of we got them both on the
we
air?
We got them both on, because they can join and answer this question. You can just raise your hand and we'll see it. And
No, just jump in.
just up in to this.
You know, Angela and Jessica, you're live. So,
so in any event,
hello.
And then we have our legal advisor, Andy Teitelman, on to talk about anything legal. And he will raise his hand or yell or something like that for sure. But, you know, one of the things I've noticed, and Keith, you're a good one because you've been doing this for 20 years. It seems that we have shifted in the relationship between school board members and their people. I know Angela.
Angelina,
who.
It's an Italian name.
It's an Italian name, Angelina. It's a beautiful name.
Dan is very name challenged.
That's the lawyer. And of course, he handles all the people that sue me for messing up their name. But one of the things is that in the 20 years, excuse me, we've seen this change in what's going on. And Angela, look, you...
Angelina, come on.
Angelina.
Oh, man, he's been away for so long.
You know what? Now that he said it, that's what's in his head. So yeah, we apologize, Angelina. Just kind of roll with us here.
Yes, yeah, my kids will tell me the same thing. Angelina, one of the things that you were at the last school board meeting in Springfield, and it was amazing as you described to me the setting, which really bears out what I've said, is... here you're at the meeting. People were given 3 minutes to speak. If they went over the 3 minutes, there was a guard there who basically was prepared to throw you out if you went over the 3 minutes and you refused to stop. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. These people are paying all these taxes. They should be allowed to speak for at least 3 minutes, and they should at least get some answers done. But I understand they will not respond to the questions. They don't even give any hint that they ever want to respond to any of these things. It's just like, go ahead, say your piece. We will not really care, and
right.
You're off and running.
Right.
Is that a good understanding of what you're seeing right now?
I mean, it's actually pretty crazy when you think about it. So Springfield Township is now doing hybrid Zoom in-person meetings. Mm. And prior to the meeting Tuesday, you had the ability to type in questions in a chat and have questions answered by members of the school board. Tuesday's meeting, they completely changed the rules. There is no chat option via Zoom because they didn't like the tone of questions that parents had. And this was the first meeting for in-person attendees that there was a security guard, which is kind of intimidating. We're all friends. We're all neighbors. We all are interested in what's best for our children. And to have a guard there that is threatening a taxpayer, threatening to remove them because they've spoke out of turn is crazy.
And I'm sure it's your tax dollars paying for that guard as well. So
Angelina, your background, I mean, you're a Penn State graduate, yay State.
We are.
And you've actually you actually were involved with ROTC in college, but you actually have been and worked in other parts of the country before you kind of landed and planted yourself here in the Philadelphia and Springfield area. That really gives you an interesting perspective on society as a whole, being in a lot of different areas and working with people from all over the country. And I think that gives you a unique perspective. What do you think you could bring to the table in the school board realm of things?
I think because I had the ability to live across the country. I lived in Connecticut. I had some brief time at ESPN. I lived in Baltimore City, where I worked in the nonprofit sector. I lived in Los Angeles, where I managed a nightclub in Hollywood. But I'm from Philadelphia, and I took all of these experiences, and I brought them back home to help make my community a stronger place. Now I'm a mother of two small children. I have two older stepchildren that went through Springfield Township. And I feel that it just gives me an opportunity to understand that things can be done different ways to get a desired result.
And you're open. Like, I know, for example, in the last school board meeting that Keith was involved in, the school board people up and left because people weren't
except
wearing masks,
yep.
Except for Keith, right? Is mm-hmm. that what happened?
Well,
yeah,
no.
That's
no,
exactly what happened.
Is this a question for me?
Yeah. Let's.
Okay. At our board meeting, what had happened was our meeting lasted about 7 minutes.
The, 7 minutes.
Yes, literally. Unfortunately, what happened was we called the meeting to order, and due to the mandate, we were supposed to wear masks in the buildings. This was held in a building, so it was requested that everybody put their masks on. People wore masks, get into the building. When they got into the auditorium, a lot of people took them off. The council president asked that they put their masks on so we could conduct the meeting, and it went downhill very quickly, and there was a motion to adjourn the meeting or to recess the meeting, and then we readjourned it just this past Tuesday, 5 days later, and we completed the meeting via Zoom.
You know what's interesting about that, when they talk about, and Vicki can just kick me so you can get on. last week we had Dr. Bob Civitz on, who's a graduate of a Boston Medical School and a brilliant guy.
Like pages and pages.
No, literally pages and pages of
his
ability.
Experience.
And yeah. Man of facts and science. And he goes, you know, the COVID molecule is so small that unless you wear, there's a reason why they wear these hazmat outfits in these labs is because they're specially designed to handle the lowest possible, smallest possible molecule. And that by wearing these masks, these masks will not prevent you from breathing in the COVID molecule. Plus the fact, he said, COVID is an aerosol virus, which basically if you get a drop in your eye or a drop in your ear or anywhere, you are infected. So the mask mandate is really just a fear conditioning mechanism, I believe, as far as it goes. And then if you get vaccinated, why do you have this fear of getting COVID?
Correct. And I think that's what a lot of the parents were talking about. But I think one of the reasons that Keith McCarrick is here today is also the fact that he was one, with what you were speaking about before, is he was one of the board members that said, okay, I want to listen to what you have to say. And he took people outside and stood out there for how long?
Oh, about an hour and a half, I guess.
You did a school board meeting by yourself outside.
No, you know what, though? let me preface this with the fellow members on my board. I do not dislike any of them. I respect each and every one of them. It is a hard job no matter what district you're in. And I'm friends with some of them, and I'm acquaintances with others. But, you know, over the past 2 years, I've learned a little bit about each of them. But the biggest thing is we can talk respectfully among each other and discuss our differences and the things that we also agree on. So I have no problem with that. You know, so I really dislike it when people badmouth them. You know, do we have different opinions? Yes. But we can sit and discuss it intelligently and rationally, and we can bring arguments to the table without yelling and screaming. And that's the biggest thing that's happening with all meetings nowadays, not just school board, but even local government. You've got people coming here and they're all fired up. They've got their pitchforks. They've got their firebrands to set the monster on fire.
But isn't that, and jump in any of the other, because I know we have Jessica on also, but isn't that a self-inflicted wound? Because when you want to control a situation and you prevent people from speaking or you don't answer their questions and people want that, it's kind of like it adds fuel to the fire, you know, you come home and you broke a window and your dad is punishing you. You say, Dad, wait a minute, let me tell you, I don't want to hear it, get up to your room.
Yes.
But Dad, I got to tell you this story. No, I don't want to hear it. So it just creates that animosity. Yes. Between you and your parent because they won't listen to you. And I think that it's more of a self-inflicted wound.
Yes.
That's there.
I think that's also why we have two brand new people that are actually coming out of the woodwork only because of what has happened. And one of them is Jeff Borchett, which we'll hear from him soon. He's a logistics manager that has lived up in Upper Perk, and has children in the district. And he became involved after he started and was really drawn to these issues. And he was one of the parents that was outside talking for an hour and a half. And then who we have on the line is Jessica. She is also jumping up. And she kind of has an interesting background because she basically is from the New York City public school system. And plus she works as a health aide and now has grown children, but also has a little one in the school district too. And she's well aware of the issues that are going on, and she was one of the parents that was there also.
She attended New York schools?
Yes, she did. Jessica.
Jessica, do you have a black belt degree?
I probably should. My dad, since I could walk, his two main goals was to teach me how to dance and to teach me how to fight. So, yeah.
Good dad.
So that's what his dad. Two
Great.
Goals were. But yeah, it was tough. I grew up in Coney Island in the projects, and being a biracial person, my father is from Puerto Rico. He was born in Puerto Rico. And then my mother is mostly Scottish. so it was a little bit tough.
I wanted to. Oh my God. I want to come to your family dinners.
Oh, it's interesting. The interesting part is that most of the Latinos side, they're mostly conservative Republicans. And then my Scottish side is a mix, but most of them are Democrats. So if we all get together, it's hectic.
So you're ready for the schoolboy thing.
Well, totally ready. to make matters even more crazy, I'm the oldest of 9 children. So if I grew up in chaos.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things that I can ask all of you, we have seen what's been happening on our borders ever since the Biden administration has come in and taken all the wraps off. And it's equivalent each month. I want people to understand this. Each month is equivalent. The number of illegal people coming into this country is equal to a small town of maybe 10 to 20,000 people in America. So that's every month a small town is being developed. Now, all these people are being sent throughout the country. And the impact on our school boards and our school districts is going to be huge. Some maybe can handle it better because they may be they may have a large bilingual group of people. But I believe that this impact is going to be detrimental overall to our kids that are here. Anybody here jump in? Keith, you want to take that first? And Angelina, you want to take that? And Jessica, go ahead.
I'll jump in on that. Yeah, you're right. It can be a very detrimental impact to any district that gets these new residents, these new kids, because the districts have to teach any and every child in there, whether they're going to the public school or whether they're pulled out and going to a charter school or a cyber school or something. The district is financially responsible for that. And at our current rates, you know, our district is stretched a little bit thin. We could always use more people to get the job done properly. But if we want to expand, we then have to place that burden across the backs of the taxpayers. And we don't want to do that. So since the government is putting these people into different places,
not taking any responsibility for the cost of that.
Well, I hope they take responsibility for the cost, because otherwise you're going to end up with deficits in the school districts. You're going to have, you know, detrimental learning environments for the kids, because now you're going to be overloading classes. You're going to have to hire teachers that are interpreters that can do that. English as a second language for the first thing right off the bat. How many of the refugees that are coming in?
And it's not just English. It's not just Spanish. It's other languages.
Correct.
You know, we have a lot of Haitians, which is
Haitians,
French.
Yep.
And we have the Afghanistanians. And then plus fact, none of these people have been tested that I know of any diseases. We've had outbreaks of measles and COVID in all the areas of where these people have been sent. Jessica, why don't you, give me a little feedback, and then I'll go to Angelina on that.
As far as illegals that are coming here, I don't agree with that. Like, I think that it should be stopped. I don't think that the taxpayers should have to pay for their kids to come to this, you know, our school districts. And I know for me, as a Latina, it's not against people racially. It's our standards here in America that we're just not going to allow whoever in. You know, you have to be an upstanding citizen from your country. And I think that as far as the COVID goes, it's a big issue. Like, we are afraid of our own people here in our own country to go out in public, but yet we're having, you know, people come here from other countries not tested, like you said, for multiple different diseases and illnesses, and they're just being shoved in with our families. And I don't think it's a good idea at all. And I definitely don't believe that we should be paying for them to go to school. We've already had enough that we have to pay for.
Angelina, you want to, kind of give a little feeling about that? Because you've been all over the country, actually.
For us, Springfield Township is a relatively small place. We have about maybe 7,500 homes. So an influx of any type of immigration or refugee settling will definitely be a burden on the taxpayers, as well as just our township infrastructure. The issue where immigrants are not being mandated to have the vaccine if they want it, but our school district is strongly encouraging all staff and students is a little hypocritical as well. I just really think that when people have these solutions that are just a little bit of ideological naivete, that they have to step back and be realistic about the real impact of how it really affects you and your communities in your home.
With like listening to the three of you and understanding like that the school boards are not listening, what as parents, what are you hearing from other parents about whether or not they're going to be keeping their children in school? Because that's going to cause an increase if a lot of parents, because of all these unfounded mandates, they're pulling their children out and putting them into charter schools, because that's going to be a major economic impact on the public school system either. So what are you hearing from parents? Are they like feeling like they are at a last resort now, that because the school boards aren't listening to them, that they're going to start pulling their children out?
I can jump in here. Again, in Springfield Township, I know several families last year who took their children out, who opted to homeschool. And that was more so due to CRT and the biased books towards the police that the elementary school children were reading. Now I have friends who have seen the impact of masking on their children. I have friends with special needs. They have nonverbal children. The mask is completely detrimental to them. My one friend's son has regressed completely. Mm. But for him, there's no exemption. And for his teacher, he needs to see his teacher's face. I have another friend who was her first year of kindergarten. She was so excited, and she's this beautiful angel child. And within 3 days, she was told that she's not special enough because she's white. Ugh. Just certain things that are being done to our children, it's unbelievable. And my children, they are, you know, my oldest would be a kindergarten child next year. And I really am nervous about how they decide to label her. I mean, I'm African-American with Asian Pacific Islander, but maybe you can't tell that by looking at my child. And so I tell her that, you know, everybody is wonderful. Everybody can be your friend. We're all Americans here. We all are God's children, and everyone is special. But what happens if someone looks at her and says, well, you don't look like you're special enough. You don't look like your family struggled enough. You look like you're privileged. What kind of message does that send to her?
Yeah, sure. And that's really, you know, when you think about it, the schools are supposed to set up, at least when I went to school, you went to public school because that was the society that you
did
were
they?
In. Yes, I did go to public school. I had to walk 20 miles in the snow.
Uphill both ways.
Did you have books and everything?
And, you know, I had books and snowshoes and stuff like that. So it was a real workout. But I did get there. But anyhow, you know, you had this opportunity to blend with people of different religions
and different beliefs
and things like that. And it was that united us. And then you realize, hey,
back then, we were all Americans. We weren't broken up depending on the color of our skin or what church we went to or...
Well, I know we have Alana Fishbin on, and Alana's been very involved. And I know maybe some of you, the school board people here, may have heard her speak. And once we get her going, forget it. It's like she's the firebrand. So you think I'm bad? Holy cow. Actually, she'd be very great at any cocktail party. She'd be able to keep everybody very interested. But she has seen this and really brought it to our light over 2 years ago.
Yes.
She was one of the first ones to realize what the heck was going on in these school districts. And Alana, one of the things that I know you can bring out is that there seems to be in the schools, and this is where good school board members, like the people we have on today, who really are inclusive people, like Keith spent time after a meeting was up after 7 minutes to sit and talk to people, just to at least let them know somebody will listen, mm-hmm. to break down that barrier that's come up, that's this self-inflicted wound. But schools need to bring people together and stop this fear and stop this, you know, the 1619 project. Mm-hmm. These people are so crazy. These people are so crazy that I think they'll take leukemia and call it a racist disease because it includes too many white blood cells in it. That's how ridiculous some of these people are.
Yeah.
Alana, you want to expand on what you've been doing?
Yes. I would like actually also to address the last question that was asked about pulling kids out of school. I think we have to really understand that this problem is not a problem of public schools alone. This is a very widespread problem in almost every school in the country, including parochial school, including charter school, and any other private school. In fact, I've said it before that you need to take a tweezer and to find schools that do not engage in that in any sector. So saying pull your kids out of public school and put them in charter, but charter are infected. In fact, the first lawsuit of a parent against a school is a charter school. So before you rush to pull your kids out and put them in another school just because it's not a public school, check out what do they do. Check out the curriculum. Check out the material. Check out the policies. And indeed, parents have been leaving schools. I know I used to be take my kids to Gladwin Elementary School. I know many families have left Gladwin Elementary School because of the curriculum and found some alternative schools that do not engage in that, although it's very hard to find them. So the problem is widespread. The problem is very much entrenched, but it doesn't mean that there is nothing to do against it. We can definitely fight. The other problem we are seeing is that teachers, and I'm hearing that from across the country, who do not want to go along with this kind of material, putting on our kids all this burden from racial material, from sexual materials, etc. They're quitting. There are teachers who are resigning because they do not want to engage in that. So the problem is really very widespread in that regard. That's the way, in fact, that we are placing pressures on the system to change. But the other places are obviously school boards, mm-hmm. and the other one obviously is also legislation. Mm-hmm. With regard to school boards, definitely I have this term, I call it quote, come, overwhelm, take over. I have the boys, and all of them wanted to be Buzz Lightyear. So you know how Buzz Lightyear come to Andy and tell him, I come in peace. So I always say, first thing, come to your school board members and say, I come in peace. Let's talk. So you come and try to discuss, try to have a civil conversation about what's going on. It's becoming more and more difficult because the school boards are not transparent. This morning, I talked to a school board who contacted me from the Harrisburg area. And she has been talking about the fact, like in many other school boards, they're trying to hire a person for DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Director position. But they're not following the procedure and the protocol of hiring personnel. But parents do not know that. So one of the most important things is also for parents, go and learn what are the procedures, what are the protocols, what are the governing, the bylaws of the school board. So you educate yourself and you're staying on top of things. I really would like to see parents look at what's happening to the in the school and the school board of their kids in the same way they are going to go and investigate before they are buying a car. And they do not do that. You know how much investigation people do before they buy a car. Do at least as much when it comes to the education of your children.
Yep. They even test drive them.
Yes. Yeah, for whatever reason, we have always, most people just get turned on to the presidential election, and the other ones kind of filtered down, and they don't think highly. But yet, it's local government, local school boards that have the biggest impact on our lives mm-hmm. in a direct way, and that is why we must, as a nation, be more engaged in the local government and local politics, so we can get. In the case of Republican, get these rhino like Jake Coleman, Corman out. See, I got him in there again. Yeah. The rhino Jake Corman out, who gives you lip service and stuff, and get rid of these lip service people, people that are really going to be people of action in a positive way.
Well, one of the things, Stan, I just want to, is exactly what you were just talking about, though. What we have to do is stop letting township supervisors and school board members skate on answering a question. When they say, oh, it has nothing to do with school board. Hey, if I want to know where you stand on the Second Amendment, if I want to know where you stand on pro-life versus pro-choice, even if you're running for school board, I want the answer to that question, because that's going to tell me if you're going to support individual rights and freedoms as directed by the founders of our Constitution, or you're going to be one of these woke progressives that are going to want to make you wear 7 masks, stand behind a plastic shield, and basically blame students that are a different color of you for their plight in life.
Donna, I even want to take it one step further, especially when it comes to the local school board elections. I think they should run as either Republican or Democrat.
Yes, none of this cross-filing.
None of this cross-filing. Because that way then we know exactly what their moral core, or at least what their beliefs and values should be.
Yes.
And then from that we can go on and change that.
Or at least what you think that candidate's beliefs are. Because a few years ago we had people on the ticket who were coming to the party and supporting the party, and yet they supported the opposite values.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was an
issue
a few years ago.
That's why it's not, and that's our movement is not a political movement.
Correct.
And that's why we have a lot of people from all walks of life join our movement, because, as I always emphasize, it's not a difference between right and left, it's a difference between right and wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
my point really is you have to ask the questions. And
exactly.
for too long, school board members and township supervisors, if you would ask them a national question, and say, for example, Second Amendment rights, and they would say, well, that has nothing to do with me running for township supervisor, or it has nothing to do with me running for school board. Yeah, it may not really, but it lets me know what kind of person you are. Or, you know, are you going to let, you know, transgender boys play girl sports, you know, and you're not going to come up with an answer and say, well, I think we should have unisex.
I'm working on a one-page document for questions to ask candidates. I don't care what political affiliation they have, to ask candidates so you can really clearly understand what they stand for when it comes to the curriculum of our children.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Please let it.
Please
let us know.
Yeah. When you get that out, you send it to us, and we'll have it everywhere.
It out.
Yeah.
You also need to find out who is backing them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That the money, what
groups?
Yeah. And so let me ask.
It's very important to file right to you.
Let me get control here for a second, because I want to drill down to some very specific things. And each one of the school board candidates that are on, I'd like them to give me their 3-second or 4-minute decision here. One of the things I
you're only keeping them to 3 minutes.
Yeah, then we have the guard.
then we have our
producer is going to do the drum roll, and he's going
to
come in here and pull everybody out.
Oh, see,
he's
good. We're having a school board meeting.
He's giving us thumbs up. So first off,
I'm sorry.
I'm
not.
Yes, I see that. So one of the things.
Where's Simon when we need him?
I know.
One of the things that is real important is the position of the teachers' unions and their political control from the state. The teachers' union in Pennsylvania is extremely powerful money. They are a political entity. Maybe some of the teachers in that union may not believe in what they're doing, but still they are the biggest bullies in the block, and they want to centralize everything and take away the rights of individual school districts to handle their specific areas. For example, if you go to the Amish country, their standards or what they want in their school district is going to be different than what Springfield wants, and that's reasonable. How will you address the teachers' unions and the problems that they give up? Because I believe that the teachers' unions and everybody really should be teaching what will make our children become the best versions of themselves.
Okay, Jessica, you're first.
So,
put me on the spot.
That's right.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Well, I'm not somebody that backs down easily, so I think that they're going to probably get sick of me pretty fast. And I don't, like, I want to know, like, I'm going to have to make sure that I do more research onto this part, because I have to make sure that whatever answers or questions I have for these people, it's like, up to par and I know what's going on. But as far as handling things like the critical race theory and all that stuff that they want to put into our school districts, I don't think that they're going to have really an answer for me for things like that, because I am biracial. So, like, you know, it's going to end up being something where they're going to be confused with people like me and the other woman, Angelina. Yep. Where we don't support those types of things.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. They're not going to have. They're not going. You're not going to fit into their box, and that's going to be the problem.
Exactly. And the other thing is that I'm, even though I'm a conservative, and I grew up Christian, I left Christianity, and I'm very open and honest with people so that they know that I do support the Second Amendment. I own guns. I'm a concealed carry, owner. But I'm not a Christian anymore. You know, and I've taught my kids how to shoot. I still,
my kind of mom,
as far as religion goes, I'm an animist. So with the whole mask policy, it still goes against my religious beliefs, even though I'm not a Christian, because I honor Gaia, the planet. And I am kind to the planet. I do not go with this new Green Deal. I think that that's just ridiculous, and it's never going to work. These people are insane. But you know, I wonder how they're going to take somebody like me.
Tell us how you really feel.
Can you imagine her on the board asking questions? This is going to be great.
Okay.
I mentioned the lawsuit. The lawsuit is a biracial mother. Mm-hmm. You're not protected. They're calling Candace Owen, white supremacist.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're calling Larry Elder a white supremacist.
So the fact that you're not, quote unquote, white, doesn't prevent them from attaching to you all sort of labels.
I'd like to get Angelina.
Yeah, Angelina, go ahead.
In here, and then Harvey, if you're on, I'm going to bring you on to tell your story quickly, which I think can really benefit people on the school board too. So, Angelina, where do you stand on some of the, like, the teachers' union, on these mask mandates that I think are just CRT, the 1619 project, some of these things that do nothing to teach spelling and math and writing a intelligent English sentence, to know where the verb and the noun is, and helping to pronounce people's last name. But go ahead.
I mean, so at the end of the day, a school board official is an elected position. You are there to represent the interests and views of the people who elected you. The teachers are hired by us and the administration to execute our vision for what's appropriate for our children. Now, when it comes to certain things, I do believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the freedom of choice. Masks are for sick people. If you're not sick, why do you need a mask? If you're vaccinated, then you consider yourself protected. If you're protected, why does it matter if I have a vaccine? At the same time, I think you also have to be aware of the conversations with PSBA, Philadelphia School Board Association, because they also make curriculum recommendations. What is the process when these recommendations are made? Is there a question? Why are we recommending this particular digital curriculum over this one? In Springfield Township, you follow the links back to the money, and our curriculum is funded by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is quite concerning to me personally.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they're probably.
Wow.
And well, Keith, you can answer.
Oh, that's a big one. I've been through this a few times over the years. You know, my biggest thing is the unions are not supposed to be dictating what the school policy is or what the education curriculum is. You know, that should be coming from the administration itself. So we need to have a voice in the administration and watch what's going on. The individual districts actually have policy committees, curriculum committees, things like that. Parents should be going to that and seeing what they're trying to put into there. The biggest leeway they have for having CRT or something like that creep into the curriculum is when the teachers define a course, hey, I'm going to teach this history course. It's the content of what they're teaching for that individual course that can really take you off course at that point. Also, the other thing with working with teachers' unions, as Stan said a few minutes ago, they're a very powerful union in the state. and not only the state, but the country. They had input on the CDC recommendations for guidance.
Yes.
You know, CDC actually said, well, we used some of their words to put this recommendation out there. I'm sorry, but they should not be dictating health care.
Don't you feel that, you know, for years we've talked about the military-industrial complex, but clearly there are several industrial complex, and one of the most insidious one is the educational-industrial complex.
Well, the issue is, quite honestly, is they don't want to listen to a contrary opinion, even though there may be facts that back you up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be publishing later on today the link to a German study on masks and the harm it can be caused. And it's a very interesting study. It's a long read, but it's worth reading. And they took 22 cases of study, or 22 individual studies pre-COVID masks, and 22 studies that have been done since COVID. So there's no bias either way. But the whole study basically gives you the outline of why masks are harmful worn for long periods of time, like they're trying to do to our kids now.
So I'll tell you how powerful the unions are. In the primary for the Upper Perk School District, the school's union leaders held a candidates meeting night, and they used taxpayer school related equipment, time, Zoom meeting to have this candidates night, and then came out and only supported the candidates that they personally picked.
The union was disingenuous when they asked, in my opinion, that they were disingenuous when they asked for the resources of the school to use it. They said, we want to host a candidate, meet the candidates night, and they invited all the candidates. They did not tell anybody beforehand that they would be endorsing anybody. If they had just left it at meet the candidates night, that's great. But then by doing that, the union then violated the district.
Teachers union should not be endorsing anybody.
That's correct.
That's my personal
opinion
also.
Should never be
endorsed.
But they also violated school policy by doing that, because they then took a political position and used school resources to do it.
Yeah, and that...
100%.
Go ahead, Angela.
I was just going to say, actually, I also feel like in the classroom, if a student can come home and tell you the political affiliation of their teacher, then that is egregious and that is inappropriate, and
correct.
That cannot be happening
yep,
in
correct.
Schools.
Yeah.
I want to bring Harvey in right now, because related to the mask and everything else. Now, Harvey was vaccinated. Harvey, why don't you take a couple minutes before the show ends, exactly what happened to you over the last couple of weeks and how that's kind of changed you around from being somewhat liberal in your position to being somewhat more conservative. And you're kind of like on finally joining me after about 50 years. Harvey, why don't you tell the story? You there, Harvey, or are you sleeping?
Harvey, are you there?
Take your phone off mute, Harvey.
Yeah, maybe your phone's on mute. It says he's still there.
I think he's still shocked in the fact that he's joined your side.
I know. That's probably what happened. But basically, I'll tell you the story. Harvey was vaccinated, and he called me the other night. And he says, Stan, you're not going to believe
I'm
what
here, Stan.
There he is. He took his phone off mute. So I thought you were shocked when you heard me say you're coming over to my side of the aisle. But why don't you tell a little bit of I'm still ticked off that you beat me in every race that we ever ran. So anyhow.
We were younger then. You could probably beat me now that we're both older.
I'm going to try like hell to do that. Go ahead. Tell a quick story about your involvement with COVID and what's happened to you.
Yeah, the thing that really disturbs me is the fact that people are not aware of what really cures COVID. And people are scared out of their minds. They don't go in restaurants. They don't eat outside. And I was cured literally in one day. I had what's called a monoclonal antibody infusion. And that's in Florida. The governor in Florida opened up a number of clinics for that. What happened was I had two shots. I did get my shots. And I was around somebody who had COVID. And I went in to get a test. And my daughter, who is very familiar with this, she's a doctor. She suggested that I find a clinic in Pennsylvania that offers this monoclonal antibody infusion of Regeneron. And I think that's the same thing that our great former president had. And he was better within a day, too. But what it is, it's an infusion that lasts for your, they do it intravenously, and it lasts for about 20 minutes, the infusion. I left that night. I went home, and it's the first time I had a fever. I had a fever of 102. And I called the doctor the next day. She said, that's exactly what happened. I killed the COVID. You probably will never get a fever again. And within a day, I was completely cured. I have no symptoms, no fever. And I'm waiting to get another test. They tell me that you can't really get a test because there's still some dead cells from COVID that may show up. So I'm waiting a couple of weeks to get a test. But I have to say that I just coincidentally heard our new president, Biden, that's outlawing this. He's not allowing this to be given. I don't understand why. I guess people will die if they get COVID. And my experience has been wonderful from this infusion that I had.
Well, Harvey, this is Don. And I just want to jump on what you said, because my wife also caught COVID. And she went up to Doylestown Hospital, where my daughter is an ER nurse. And they also gave her the monoclonal antibody infusion treatment. And in 2 days, she was completely 100% better. And
thank you. Isn't that amazing?
And yet, now this treatment has been FDA approved. But yet now we have the president saying that they're not going to, I think they're cutting funding for it. That's how they're doing it, right? Taking the money?
I think they're basically pulling the plug on it all over. At least they're going to try to do that.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know, and we have Andy on the line, but all this stuff is this baseless science, or at least science is supposed to be the discussion of ideas and challenges to different things in an open, transparent way. It's been completely negated. You know, I've actually had a couple of my Facebook posts, because I'm off of Twitter. I've got nothing to do with Twitter, but I've actually had a couple of my Facebook posts, which have had a challenge. I said, wait a minute, I'm just giving out history here or data. It's up for people to make the decision. And I thought that's what Facebook was like. I don't know what the response is going to be, but the right to try was passed. It was a bill passed by Congress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have a right to try this stuff. And in these, and it really overlaps into these schools. You clearly see this fear mongering to control people. Fear is one of the greatest mechanisms to control people. And there's only one side that is using fear to control people.
Exactly. And one of the things that you've all just said or referred to is science. You know, and I used this statement the other night when I was addressing the school board during the meeting. There is science on both sides, but some people deride at me for that comment because there's only one true science.
Yeah.
You know, according to them.
Which the thing I is, have. I the, know. It's me.
I'm exactly, exactly, Stan. That's why I'm sitting here, and, you know, I'm going to get your tailor and, right. You know, hairdresser information. Because you are the best. But anyhow, I used this argument the other night. I said, one side says masks are good. One side says masks are bad. We've got two organizations out there, CDC and the WHO. One says good. One says bad. Both are scientific organizations. Which science are we supposed to follow? And that is the biggest problem
and
that
that's
people
where,
are experiencing right
that's
now.
That's where it's your body,
your
choice,
exactly.
And my
exactly.
kids, and I'm going to follow
God, I'm
them.
In a room of Democrats.
But unfortunately, you wish there were more Democrats like this,
yeah,
or liberals like this.
My body, my choice to live.
As to whether we want to wear the mask or the vaccine.
So here's what I had this conversation, believe it or not, just the other night with somebody. And I said that people mistake my stance and they call me an anti-vaxxer or whatever. And I said, I'm not anti-vaxxer. I get my flu shot. My kids are all vaccinated. I said, what I am is anti-government telling me what I have to do. Yes. When they should just say they don't know. And so what I said to them, I said, if I chose to get the vaccine, I would get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Well, there's where you're wrong. Progressive liberals, they know.
Right.
Even though they haven't walked on water lately, they still know.
Think about the science of this. So he asked me, he said, well, why would you get that one? And I said, because that's proven science. That vaccine is just like all the other vaccines. They inject you with dead viral material. The other ones is this new technology, which they will argue has been, but they don't tell you that until COVID, it had never been used in humans to treat a vaccine. It was always clinical trials. It was
and
never,
the animals died.
Right. So, but they don't give you all that information because it doesn't fit their narrative. And then remember when it first came out that Pfizer, the efficacy was 96%, 98%. And now, guess what? That efficacy is gone in 6 months and you have to get a third booster shot.
Yep.
Well, the show's ending shortly, but I want to tell you to all you members out there and to voice what Alana says. In Rockland County, New York, the parents got together. They filed for a FOIA request. The school board voted out the radical leader of their school, so they got the school board, they got their administrator Cox to resign. He was an advocate of 1916 and CRT and all this stuff, and they got him out 5-1 vote.
Yep.
So it can happen. So be out there, don't back down.
And
do
best
the investigation.
Wishes to all
go
these
out there
board
and
members.
Vote and support these school board.
Tell you guys the ending of the story when I.
Real
I
quick.
I got a call from Montgomery County, and they asked me about having COVID. I said, isn't there something called the HIPAA laws? Why are you calling me?
There you go.
Yeah. Good job.
Thanks,
thanks,
everybody.
Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend.